and find God's word from Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, as we return to our series from this wonderful gospel account. The gospel according to Matthew, beginning at verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Thus far, the reading of God's word this morning, may he add his blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of it. The young man was lying on his hospice bed when he said that his last ride would be in a black wagon. He was okay with that because he knew that his lifestyle was what brought him to this station of his life. He confessed he was earlier in denial and thought the Bible was one messed up book that his parents forced him to read. And then God got his attention in a big way. And that brought him to repentance. Later, he closed his eyes and breathed his last at the age of 32. His mother sighed and said, his former life choice killed his body, but it did not take his soul. God was merciful. Now, the context is different from verse 28, but the point is still the same. Fear God, who can destroy both soul and body. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we resume our tour through the gospel according to Matthew, and we come across a most unsettling discourse. Our Lord says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged up before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. A temptation that could be for us is to say, wow, what a horrible thing to anticipate. So glad all of that New Testament persecution is behind us now. To be sure, the persecution that will come did in fact come. In fact, church tradition tells us that all but one disciple died violently at the hand of persecutors. The text before us certainly has its historic perspective, but it is also a text to remind us that even in our day, persecution exists. And our Lord is giving more than just a mere pep talk here. He's instructing the church then and us today to have no fear, to trust in God who alone delivers, and to be informed that the one who prevails is the one who is rewarded. I don't dare use this as an illustration because it does show my age. But 35 years ago, when I was teaching at Pella Christian Grade School, I made my annual visit to a Des Moines teaching supply store. And I could get all of my bulletin borders, posters, and other classroom decor to brighten up my room. The Bible teacher, my colleague who has since gone to his Lord, did things a little bit differently. He was using his Amstrad computer, which, for those who understand the evolution of the computer, it's a contemporary of the Apple IIe, and for those who might remember that dated technology from the late 80s and maybe early 90s, he was using a very slow dot matrix printer, producing a very crude-looking banner. And there were no home computer printers back in the day, so even in the school for that matter, so his black and white printer was churning out the banner at about one big block letter per 5 minutes. And he was coloring in those black letters with magic markers. So it took him quite a while to finish this rather crude looking banner. This would not be a professional looking job. But I will never forget the impact of the wording when he unfolded the banner and put it up on his classroom wall above the coat racks. It said simply this: live the antithesis. Live the antithesis, which meant live antithetically to the world. He wanted his seventh and eighth graders to see that every time they came into the classroom, they would see this banner, live the antithesis, be opposite of the world, or really live biblically, live as one of his, conform unto Christ and not of the world. And every fall for about a decade, even as the computer paper yellowed over the years, this Bible teacher got out his banner for that new year, live the antithesis, and it would be up there all year. Beloved, our passage here is really about living the antithesis. So this morning we're going to examine what it means to live opposite of the world and unto Christ with these two points: live with no fear as you work out your faith, trust in God who alone delivers. And then next week we'll plan to look at the third point in the next section of reading in Matthew's gospel account, and that point goes like this. Know that the one who prevails is the one who is rewarded. So our first point, live with no fear as you work out your faith. It would seem up to this point in Matthew's gospel account that really those who opposed to Christ were basically Jews. That's what the gospel record has said so far. It was the Jewish church that really opposed our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 18 now, a different audience is singled out. And you will be dragged out before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Now, sometimes this verse is misapplied by the church in pointing out the necessity of an award-winning evangelism strategy. But actually, the concern here is about the opposition Christians will face. Really, anyone who lives out his or her Christian faith in a most distinctive way can expect opposition from the world. And prior to this, our Lord says, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Again, this is not X's and O's from some elaborate playbook on evangelism. It speaks to wisdom. It speaks to wisdom. A serpent is wise, with keen eyesight, one that is alert and able to adapt and learn. A dove, on the other hand, is innocent, meek, gentle. When the Holy Spirit appeared, it had taken on the form of a dove. The point is that Jesus is telling his disciples that they are being sent out like sheep among wolves. And practically speaking, be wise as a serpent, that is to have good, basic, fundamental knowledge of where to tread. Be smart. Be alert. Do not put yourself in harm's way. And yes, be on your guard against the snares, the traps, and the deceptions, the fiery darts that the evil one and his minions will throw at you. Not might throw at you, but will indeed throw at you. And practically speaking, to be innocent as doves would mean to be meek, pure. As Thomas Watson once put it, the dove is the emblem of meekness. We must avoid unruly anger. We must be without the gall of bitterness and revenge. It does not deceive. People, he goes on to say, are full of guile. They study nothing but deceit, so that one knows not how to deal with them. The dove has no horns or talons to hurt, only wings to defend itself by flight. Thus, we should be as doves for harmlessness. We should not do wrong to others, but rather suffer wrong ourselves. The dove is also the emblem of purity. It loves the purest air. It feeds on pure grain. The raven feeds on the carcass, but the dove feeds pure. Thus, let us be as doves for sanctity, cleansing ourselves from all pollution, both of flesh and spirit. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, let's revisit the language of our first point. Live with no fear as you work out your faith. Dear friend, God is in charge. He always has been. Think of the imagery in Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. This is attainable because God can do anything, including giving words to live by, verses 19 and 20. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Live with no fear as you work out your faith. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father, his son, his children will rise up against his parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated. And this is the part where sometimes the church hates. Well, we don't want to be hated. We want to be inclusive. We want to be liked by the world. So let's not be so sharp in our doctrine. But that's not what our text says, does it? It doesn't say, well, just in case, why don't you compromise on the doctrine? That's not what being clever or wise as a serpent is all about. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The great antithesis will divide families. It does to this day, still dividing families. There will be those for Christ and those against Christ within the same bloodlines. But then really, the only true bloodlines that matter is that which flow from Christ and named by faith. Those are the true spiritual descendants of our father Abraham. Those are the sons and daughters of God Most High. Live with no fear as you live out or work out your faith given to the end. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And we'll hear about those rewards next week. Now, there are some different interpretations regarding verse 23. You will have to have not gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Did Jesus mean, perhaps, his second coming or his resurrection / ascension? Or perhaps it's more immediate as when he will shortly meet up with his disciples. Perhaps it's that. Or maybe what is being said is about the coming of Jerusalem's fall in A.D. 70. You know, lots of different interpretations regarding that, and they're all plausible. But what do we know with great certainty is that there is work to be done. Work to be done. And the disciples are not to fear their charge. They are not to fear their mission. Now, this is interesting because you recall how the disciples all cowered when Jesus was taken and how Peter, who was bold to say, I will never, never disown you, O Lord. You are my God. You are my Savior. And then, you know, of course, we know what Christ said to him. You will deny me three times. And Peter's like, no, not me. And of course, he did. How can this be the same guy now? In which your spirit will descend on him, and then he will be a walking epistle with a mouthpiece that speaks of his Lord. Verses 24 and 25 is an identity reminder. Call it your spiritual army tags, if you will. It indicates a couple of things here. It indicates name and rank. So this is your spiritual army dog tag. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. And you will not lose sight of this because the world will remind you what it thinks of you. If you have called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? You see, your spiritual army dog tag is your changed heart. And your changed heart impacts your thoughts, your words, your deeds. So if your tongue is wagging in such a way in which it really doesn't show you as a Christian, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing here? Who am I? Am I a child of God? This is where the antithesis gets pretty apparent because people want to take off those dog tags for fear of being caught for fear of being known. Well, you're a Christian. Wasn't there a little person who said to Peter, I know you. Peter's like, oh, no, you don't. And another who said, you speak like one of them. No, I don't. Ticking off the spiritual dog tag. That's what he did. That's what he didn't do after the Spirit came upon him. If Jesus is called the devil, beloved, by his enemies, then all of his followers will be insulted similarly. Live with no fear as you work out your faith. Our Lord is very explicit here, addresses two kinds of fears. After laying out the ugliness of persecution, Jesus then says, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Go out there, speak. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In short, fear God, not man. And so often we fear men. There is a precious jewel here in verse 26. Persecuted Christians will be vindicated. They will be vindicated. In the end, all men will know the truth, including those who have attempted to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We are truly children of light, beloved. Children of light. And the light will expose the darkness. As Paul tells the Ephesians, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And to the Thessalonians, he says, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. And John writes in his first epistle, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In the martyrdom of recent times, let's say Middle Eastern Christians at the hands of jihadists, these believers understood that the presence of evil could take their physical beings. And they did. They killed them. But they could never rob them of their eternal life with God. God Almighty. So what did these recent martyrs know? What did they understand? Trust in God who alone delivers. Trust in God alone. And that's our concluding point. Trusting in him who will deliver. Do you believe that? You cannot live with no fear. You cannot work out your faith unless you trust in God who alone delivers. You are to trust in God, in the one sovereign Lord, who alone determines the life of a little sparrow. A little sparrow. How much more loved are you who are made in the image of God? God knows you. God loves you. God has redeemed you. God has called you his own. He has numbered the hairs of your head. He has also separated you out to be his. And that's all part of the antithesis. You are not of the world, though you are in the world. You are separated out. Why is it that we who have been separated out want to go and mingle with the world? Why did the old covenant church want to be like their heathen neighbors? Because was it more fun? Was it more enjoyable? Were they tired of all that Mosaic law and saying, enough of this? This is no fun. And what was the result of all of that? Their houses were divided. You think by partying with the enemy, that the enemy is just going to love you and embrace you and call you one of his or her own? No. The marauders came and divided families and destroyed the once powerful Israel. So don't think that you are loved by the enemy. You are not loved by the devil. But you are loved by God. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know, there is an active denial where we refuse and do and carry actively in our own way, but it's also a passive denial. We might appear to be a very holy Christian and do all the right things and come to church and do this, that, other thing and put money, shekels in the plate and then be counted as a goat. And have our Lord said, "Be gone, you. I never knew you because you never knew me." This is why we have the means of grace before us, friends. That we're called to examine our hearts. What's in there? How have we conformed to him? How have we confessed to him? How have we not? How have we not? And so a big part of this observance is reconsecrating ourselves unto him. This is, again, not a one and done thing. As if, okay, I've just done this. I can move on now. And be myself. No. Beloved, the Son of God has given notice. Has given notice. My sheep I will protect. They are mine, says the great shepherd. Do you, beloved, trust that? Do you trust the Son of God? In the end, you must choose the solidarity that matters most to you. Is it going to be God or is it going to be man? Will you side with the world and seek its approval or will you choose Christ? Yes, ultimately is the Father who elects, who chooses us, yes. But that is reflected in what side you seek your approval. Don't think because you can claim to be a Christian and you can do what you please and then just go ahead and say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins," and all will be fine. And then just return to your sins. The dog returns to its vomit. Is that what we're saying here? Is that what we're doing? As it has been heard often from this pulpit, too many professing Christians want Christ on their own terms. We're all a little bit like that way, aren't we? But Jesus says plainly, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." The Apostle John confirms this and says, "Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." If you do not trust the one who delivers, then you cannot live with no fear as you live out or work out your faith. You can't do it. You can't do it unless you trust in him and in him alone. Beloved, it comes down to this. You are the antithesis. And if you think, well, maybe I don't want to be that, then why are you here? Are you here out of habit? Are you here out of tradition? Are you here out of superstition? Or are you here because you want to dwell in his presence? You want to seek after him. You want to be in the presence of your God. Trust the object of your faith, your Lord Jesus Christ. Cling to him in all seasons of your pilgrimage. Let's pray.